All right, everybody, phase two. We've already went over it. You're going to do diagnosis. You're going to do your diagnosis, your guiding policy, and your coherent actions. And we're going to take about 20 minutes on this particular exercise. Go ahead and begin.
No one else clapped as I got up, but that's okay. I'll address my team. Praise the Lord. Woo! Operations. May I have your attention, please? Hallelujah. I got everybody? Okay, I'm rolling. Keep going. Okay, I'm going. All right, our goal or our strategy is 10% of our regular attendees and members are involved in at least one community service project by December 2013. Our diagnosis is obstacles and challenges, the current mindset of the people, getting buy-in from the congregants, racism, and the leadership focus or priorities or competing priorities. Our opportunity,
excuse me, operation.
Whoa. Okay. I'm gonna wait because what they're saying is more important than the person with the microphone. So I'll wait. And I said that with all the care and love that's in my heart and my department, in Jesus' name. Opportunities and advantages. Minister to the unchurched, spiritual growth and development for our members, church growth, and the bridge. Our critical issues are adequate manpower, our people resources, and time limitations, be it family or current priorities. Okay. Our guiding policy is leverage volunteers. Our coherent actions will be to educate our congregation through training and seminars, and that's all levels of the congregation, be it children, adult, young adults, and teenagers. Ask each ministry to choose one service project, ongoing service projects for children and teens, develop a community service team, incorporate community service projects and opportunities within our life groups, highlight community service projects that have been completed, partner with other organizations, children and teens shadowing program, and family volunteer opportunities, and then a FCCC day in Wylam. My team will take questions, comments, concerns at this time. Thank you. Oh, yes, Pastor. Yes. The guiding policy is leverage volunteers. Yes, sir. Okay, because most of our volunteers, or we don't have a culture that is geared towards community service, then we need to educate them first. So we need to educate and train. We're going to ask our ministries, the volunteers that we already have, to at least do as a team building within their ministries to do at least one service project. Have ongoing service projects for our children and teens. We need to have opportunities for them to go out. So we need to have some type of ongoing opportunity for them. Develop a community service team. That's someone who's going to focus specifically on opportunities and developing things for them to do. And then incorporate community service projects, opportunities within our life groups. So what we would do is educate and utilize our life groups as a way to go out into the community. Highlight completed projects. Our volunteers would see things that we're already doing outside in the community, so then that would motivate them to become involved. Y'all can chime in anytime. partner with other organizations. We want to network with other organizations that's out there so that we can continue to educate and train our volunteers and promote volunteer opportunities. And then children and teens shadowing program, that's helping to deep seed the education part of volunteering to change our culture. And then the FCCC day in Wylam.
They're all volunteers.
All volunteers would be involved, so we would have an opportunity for everybody to get involved. Praise the Lord. Does that answer your question, Pastor? That's a lot of stuff to do. It's opportunities. Our goal is 10% of our regular attendees, members, are involved in at least one community service project by December 2013. To achieve that goal, Okay, so our guiding policy should read then, leverage volunteers, members, and regular attendees, because that's our 10% target. Because what we're saying is 10% of our regular attendees and members are involved in at least one community service project by 2013. So we really need to leverage the congregation.
Changing our guiding policy.
Leverage congregation, yes. That's what I'm saying.
What's he thinking?
I think that's it. So help us, Pastor.
Don't focus on the congregation in our government.
See, here's what I was hearing y'all was saying. When this is all said and done, we get our 10% from the volunteers.
Got it.
To me,
I'm saying volunteers.
See, that's what y'all was saying. Right. We're going to get our 10% from the volunteers.
Yeah.
But that wasn't the goal, though.
Oh. No, I heard.
Not Vision Partners.
When I was thinking leverage volunteers, for me, volunteers is anyone who volunteers. It's not a vision partner, per se. When I hear leverage volunteers, that's leveraging people who volunteer, not leverage vision partners. That was where my mind was thinking of volunteers, and they could be vision partners, they could be members, they could be people who visit, who connect with us.
That's that was my thinking. As a group, we were leveraging our volunteer base that we already have. That's why we were focusing on the leverage policy.
Well,
let me share this with you. If that's the goal, if y'all goal was to increase your volunteers by 10%. Then you end up doing it. You see what I'm saying? That's not what y'all say y'all goal was. Y'all say y'all goal was to increase 10% of the congregation. If the goal is volunteers, then you reach your goal. Does that make sense? Am I confused?
No. No.
The
goals are
saying same word. But you can hear something different. Because even as we're talking now, what I perceive is the volunteer to look like is different from what someone else may perceive as volunteer. So
I didn't have a problem with the guiding policy. I mean, we gonna leverage our volunteers could be a guiding policy. That's the method that you're going to use. But the method that you're going to use is supposed to help you to overcome your diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just go about what y'all said.
That's all right.
Y'all want to work on y'all some? y'all want to work on y'all?
Thank you. One more time.
I want you to come get this mic.
Rachel, what was your goal again?
1% of regular attendees and members are involved in at least one service project by December 2013.
So it should be non.
It should just be
non-vision partners.
Right. So when you say volunteers, then
non-vision partners.
Okay.
We volunteered. Yeah.
So we work with them.
Are we ready?
Sure.
All right, people. Again, I'm with fam. Our initial goal stated that we were going to modernize service presentation by changing stage appearance in preparation for going cyber and HD conversion fourth quarter 2012. So it's to modernize service presentation, the way the service looks, by changing the stage appearance in preparation for going cyber and HD conversion by fourth quarter 2012. So the obstacles that we face, budgetary and skilled people. The challenges that we face, congregants or viewers with a traditional mindset. Opportunities, we have the opportunity to reach a broader audience. Advantages, we're already in a unified worship experience process, so that's an advantage that we have. It's already a priority. And we've already had opportunities to collaborate with construction companies, outside resources, so that's an advantage as well. Critical issue, staffing and training. So based on that information, we formulated our guiding policy, which was to obtain skilled workers in key positions. Which we have here. So, to get to that desired end, our coherent actions started with recruiting efforts with HR through HR. Second, we have training of new and current vision partners. We also have identify the skills and positions needed. So it wasn't okay for us just to do one of them because they interact with one another. And below that we have obtained skilled workers that includes outside contractors and help. And lastly, we have workshops, which differs from training because with the workshops, that's actually application. It's just not hearing somebody speak, but it's you doing the work as well. So that's what we have. Any questions?
I follow all your coherent actions in terms of them supporting your guiding policy. Explain to me, this is not a correction, just a question. How does obtain skilled workers in key positions help you to facilitate your goal? And your goal was to change the
modernized service presentation by changing stage appearance in preparation for going cyber and HD conversion. So how does that lead us to that?
Yeah.
One of the critical issues was staffing. In order to, in preparation for going cyber and HD conversion, there's a staffing and training component that comes with the new equipment and all that other stuff that goes with it. So as we get those items, we're going to have people that know what they're doing to even operate the equipment. So that's where a lot of that stuff may come in. Yeah, they got to know modernizing it. It just came with new technology, new equipment, and things like that, and making sure that the people are trained on operating those things as we get upgrade.
It's one thing to have the stuff and have all available, but if you don't have anything, you guys can go available.
In terms of the stage,
yeah, right, and all HD.
Well, all of it, right.
I heard the HD is coming to stage too.
Yeah, right. There's all that stuff.
Okay, you guys ready? All right, the operations goal is our goal was to create a seamless parking plan to reduce exit time by 5 minutes by 2013. So our strategy to do that is we start off with our diagnosis, our obstacles, our finances, time, expertise, personnel, congregational mindset, the number of people versus the time frame that we have to get them in and out, and transition phase obstacles, not having a lot of space like in our lobby area to kind of. Okay. Obstacles are finances, time, expertise, personnel, congregational mindset, number of people versus the time frame we have to get them out, transition phase space, like in our lobby area, not having a lot of space for people to just kind of hang out after service.
You know, because I'm not in your discussion, I may answer a question. It's not a challenge, I'm just asking a question. Explain the mindset part of people.
Go ahead, Commander.
Most people want to, when you say go,
yeah.
I want to go now, okay. Especially if there's nothing for me to do. So I'm anticipating the end of wherever I am. So like right now, I'm thinking, okay, we got one more session, and then I'm out of here. So I'm already anticipating my exit. So
that was just an example, by the way. that was just his example. Jermaine said, teaching purposes only.
I still don't see how that's an obstacle to getting the park in play. The goal is what now?
It's more of a challenge, I think. Okay. All right. Our opportunities is better PR opportunities, having that good in and out time in our parking lot. People want to come because it's enjoyable from start to finish, getting in and out of our church. Fellowship opportunities. We could have after service activities, and we could leverage the bridge for fellowships and activities after service. The opportunity is a dismissal plan, a creative dismissal plan. We could stagger visitors leaving, seniors leaving, you know, people who need to go early and let people who can wait go last. We could leverage some technology, like some parking technology, maximize our back gate exit area instead of everybody trying to go out the front, try to maximize that. And then maybe having some satellite locations so that we don't have everybody trying to cram into one place for service. Our advantages is we do have a teachable congregation, so even though they do have a mindset of everybody wants to get out all at one time, they're trainable. We can teach them and create a new culture of dismissal. We have great vision partners who are willing to adapt, and they're flexible, and then we have a very giving congregation who could participate in our planning and given resources. Our critical issue is the current layout of our parking lot. Because that we only have so many entrances and exits. Okay. Our guiding policy is to create a strategic dismissal plan that staggers the exit of the congregation by leveraging the Campus B lobby and the bridge to create after-service activities and fellowships. Our coherent actions would be established programming that...
Can you slow that down?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Our guiding policy is create a strategic dismissal plan that staggers the exit of our congregation by leveraging the Campus B lobby and the bridge to create after-service activities and fellowship. So kind of basically to give people something to do after church, so exiting would be staggered. Our coherent actions would be established programming that creates activities and fellowship for after service. Number two, create and form a planning committee to help work on this plan. Three is to train parking ministry with additional training, just additional skills. Four is to create education and marketing piece to educate the congregants on give them a new mindset of how we're going to do exiting. Recruit after-service fellowship VPs. That would be vision partners to help with after-service activities. And then the last one is to collaborate with ministries. That would be, you know, we would have to coordinate with children and with teens, maybe include divine events and just various ministries that would we would need. That's our plan. Questions?
Thank you, ma'am. Are you, you're the speaker?
I'm the speaker. Yeah, you're fine. Praise the Lord, saints. I am Cecilia Hall, and I am representing the finance team. Yeah. Okay, we came up with our previous statements was to educate, train donors on online, mobile, and kiosks by the end of Q4. So we discussed our obstacles, challenges, opportunities, advantages, and critical issues. To educate and train donors on online, mobile, and kiosk giving by the end of Q4, fourth quarter. Okay, I'm just going to hit some two or three of each category. For the obstacles, we identified time and schedule of the trainer, the location of the trainee, and access to computer or internet for the trainees at home. Challenges we identified were frequency of the training, the communication of getting the word out that there will be training, and people trusting the security of using the system electronically, their credit card information being used electronically. Opportunities we identified were access to, we have access to a new market of people who would be using our system, would have their name and address and information, and we could resource them for other things in our marketing. Decrease in NSF fees on the church because the money is automatically accessible to us. It's already there. And it frees up the finance staff to do other things. Advantages we identified were we actually already own our own kiosk machines and online giving is already in place. Critical issues identified were training should be simple and we should be able to the critical issue was responding to the questions quickly because the trainees may not be in our presence, And our guiding policy is that there will be video and hands-on training. And the coherent actions that we came up with to meet our guiding policy, set up a computer lab, select and train trainers, develop training material, communicate the training opportunities, establish tech support lines, set milestones for measuring the success of the trainers, of the users, I'm sorry, team with education and development regarding the training, team with television, as far as setting up videos where we could have web videos for the people to watch, and then as well as teaming with IT. Does anyone have any questions, comments, concerns? Thank you, Ronnie. Thank you so much.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. Any questions, comments, or concerns? Did you all want to modify anything? Okay, could you come and give your modified Sure.
Thank you. Let me share this with you. Let me ask a couple of questions. First question is, did y'all understand what I was saying? Why there was a difference between the coherent actions and...
Yes.
I don't think that it's going to take y'all long to adjust. Pardon me?
She already adjusted.
Okay. What I was saying was that they had a goal to increase to 10% of the congregation in terms of volunteers, right? Mm-hmm. and their coherent action. I mean, the guiding policy was to leverage volunteers. Mm-hmm. Well, at the end of the day, we should be able to see how those 10% of the congregation is increased. At the end of their thing, we saw how volunteers were increased, but that wasn't the goal.
Okay.
Thank you. She coming up.
Woo is right. I think the wording may have been confusing. We were thinking leverage people to volunteer or leverage congregants to volunteer. It wasn't just the volunteer. It wasn't just Vision Partners. So when we educate, train, and seminars, that's Sunday morning services. That could be education on any level. Ask Each Ministry. That was a part of what they're already doing. And that will capture a group, but that's not everyone. Ongoing service projects for children and teen. That includes all congregants in those groups. Develop a community service team. That's a team that's going to be working with community service, not just with Vision Partners, but with everyone. And then incorporate community service projects within life groups. There may be people in life groups who are not Vision Partners. They may not be volunteers currently, but they're a part of the congregation. Highlight community service projects that are completed when people are doing things. Others in the congregation can see what's going on. Partner with other organizations. That's a networking opportunity. And then children and teens shadowing other adults, and then opportunities for the entire family. So family members may not be Vision Partners, they may not be volunteers currently, but they can have the opportunity to volunteer. And then, of course, Faith Chapel Day in Wylam, that includes the entire church. So did that? And the guiding policy was to leverage people or congregants to volunteer instead of just leveraging volunteers. Did that? All right.
All right, we're going to move on to phase three. Now that you have identified your objectives, you've limited them, you've prioritized them, you've evaluated them.
Down. So I felt like everybody got the guiding policy thing down, which is the most difficult part of the strategy thing. So I thought it was good. I thought you did good. So you two out of three. You're batting real good. Two out of three is real good.
All right, if you're on the third page of our handout that talks about phase three, the tasks that we have in phase three, throughout this process or this phase, phase three, each group will focus on getting their objective completed. Now, I know we cannot have it physically done, but this is what we're going to do. All right, direct your attention towards the objective that we've been working with in phase one and phase two. So you have your same objective, and now you have a plan for it. And then if you look down under where it says assigned department, it says develop a plan that addresses each of the components below, which we'll look at, and these are the components of execution. All right, this task concerns how you plan to initiate the execution process. Since we can't do execution right here, this talks about what will you do to activate your team. Let's look at the hint. The hint says, first, identify the team or ministry that will be in charge of carrying out this particular strategy or plan. You may have a division or a department that has several ministries under it. Which ministry is going to be involved with executing that strategy that you just developed? Okay? And then you're going to answer each of the questions below with that particular team or ministry in mind. All right, if you look at each of the four areas, it says pace, process, people, and value. Those are all the components of execution, and you'll be answering those questions with that team in mind. But if you look at the bottom, I gave a list of some sample courses of action, some sample ways you can get your team initiated or activated to do that objective. You can host a meeting. You can have a luncheon. You can do some kind of team building workshop where you give out the objective there, a discussion forum, a sermon of some sort, a professional conference, however you want to do it. And then if you look on the right side, I gave some methods that will help you as you do that people component. Maybe you tell a story in your meeting that helps your team to grab hold of your strategy or plan that you want to do. You don't have to use any of these. They're there to just give you some possibilities, some avenues, some suggestions that you could work with, but you don't have to do any of those. But just as an example, if you choose to hold a meeting, what are you going to do in that meeting that's going to get your team fired up about doing that strategy that you just put together? All right, and I think the questions will guide you as you go through. And if you have any questions, I'll be coming around as well. Okay? And we'll start with 20 minutes again for this particular activity so we can all try to get out by 3. But if more time is needed, we'll go from there. But we'll shoot for 20 minutes for this activity. All right, let's give the Fine Arts Department our attention as they present their execution plan.
Okay, so our guiding policy was to obtain skilled workers in key positions. So based on that policy, we determined that our PACE would be a collaborative effort, but it starts with partnering with HR on a hiring timeline. From that, the process, we have be flexible in hiring criteria for skilled workers. And what that means, we are a ministry and we do have, you know, standards that we have or that we've used up to date. But when looking for skilled people, at this time it might be more important to focus on those skills rather than what we expect, you know, as workers at the church. Especially under the present state that we are, we grow people up to just be worship and witness. So we'll handle that part of it after they get in the door. But we need to skill people now. So we'll focus on that now and grow them up to be what we want them to be. No, you can't be, no. Let me qualify that. You cannot be a heathen. You cannot be a heathen, but you still have to have the desire to go where the church is going. You have to have that. That has to be a prerequisite, but you don't have to be there now. People, cast vision to vision partners with visuals, any kind of material. That might be a presentation on a board or PowerPoint, wherever the case may be, but they need a visual of where we're going and the benefits of having skilled professionals come in and train them. Like I said, they might not be where we want them to be initially, but we gotta show them the benefits of having somebody that's skilled teaching them. It might help them not only in the church, but it may help them professionally as well. And the value, to reduce time to value, we decided that we need to hire skilled professionals. That's going to save us a lot of time, money, and effort on the front end if they're already skilled. So hire them up front. And the value over time is that these skilled professionals can then train our vision partners. So that's value over time. Any questions?
I explain PACE in terms of partnering with
HR.
HR.
Well, as a team, we're not in a position to make those decisions, but what we can do is keep that before HR and have set a timeline, a collaborative timeline, as to what we want to do by what time with what kind of person. So just to keep it in front of them so it doesn't become one of their lesser important things to do.
Y'all were going to communicate
how y'all was going to do the case. It looked like y'all put it on HR.
Well, in this case, we have to, because like you said,
yeah, we
can't hire attorneys. That's something the HR has to do, since our coherent our guiding policy and our coherent actions are to get these skilled people in place. That's not something that we as fine art can carry out. And one of it,
so is the only way to do this is fine? And your goal was what now? What was your goal?
Hire skilled people in key positions.
Hire skilled people?
Well, that was our guiding policy.
What was the goal?
The goal was modernize service presentation by changing stage appearance in preparation for going cyber and HD conversion by fourth quarter 2012.
And we need skilled people to operate the...
So my question is, the only way to do that is to hire?
Yeah.
Is that the only way to do it? I'm just asking, I'm not saying that...
No.
No, because part of, if you remember, part of the other items that we outlined before was identifying skill sets even within it. So you might have, when we're dealing with a skill assessment, that may come in or outside. So that came with the exercise before.
Can I have another volunteer? Operations, you want to go next? They raised their hand. Woo, operations.
Praise the Lord. I've had some coffee. I'm good. Yes. Do we need to go back through our objective and our guiding policy? Okay. I don't know it by heart.
Oh, well, that's it.
Okay, I know. Okay, our strategic objective is to create a strategic, that's the guiding policy, excuse me, create a strategic dismissal plan. I know we need to reduce the number of words in our guiding policy. Basically, it's to stagger exit by creating activities so that people won't leave all at the same time. That's basically what our guiding policy is. So in order to execute that, under PACE, we will speed up the pace of our goal and our guiding policy by first meeting, well, first of all, our ministries that are going to be in charge of this would be Divine Events and Facilities. We'll start off by initiating a sped up pace by meeting with Divine Events and Facilities to activate the ministry and cast a vision of what we're wanting to do. Then we'll have a second meeting to establish a timeline. Our timeline will include conference call dates for all those involved, review dates so that they can keep abreast of the process for getting it all established, and designation of funds, because we have to know how much money we have available so that we can know what we actually can do. Our process will include establishing a feedback system. It'll have two parts. One is feedback system for the VPs involved, and also feedback system for the congregants that participate in the activities once they're implemented. And secondly, we'll establish a pilot and test runs before the full implementation of the process. The people aspect will include monthly meetings, so we'll have questionnaires for our VP's skill set so that we can appropriately plug them in, so we need to know what resources we have available in our VPs that are there so that we can capitalize on their skill set. And we can also utilize role-playing and skits involving FAM, for instance, to create visual effects of the goal so that people can see what happens when people have time and activities after service, so they can stop and what it actually does For instance, James brought up an excellent point. He's not here now, but he says whenever we have activities involving food, such as when we had the coffee and danishes, he said it always slows people down because they always stop to eat the leftovers or whatever, and then by the time they leave, the parking lot is half empty, so it actually helps us to reach our goal. Finally, value. The survey will help us to expedite the value of the VPs and gifts, and then we can also have workshops and trainings, i.e. to help us connect with other churches that are doing similar things, so we can train our people on knowing what to do by seeing what other churches and ministries are doing. Amen? Any questions?
Go team!
Presentation, but how this fits. I may be the only one struggling with the execution part, so I'll just speak out for me. I understood, and I could flow with phase one, phase two. It just clicks in a practical way, you know, walking it out. But when it, now what's so fun?
You're not the only one struggling.
But when I got to this part of the exercise, it just was not easy. It wasn't as easy. To me, it almost seemed like we were still in coherent actions. You know, to me, I was struggling with, I see how in execution we need to consider pace. We need to consider the people.
Well, you know what, let's do this. I think your observation is great.
Oh, but don't worry.
Can you hold it to the end?
Yes, sir.
Because that's something we need to discuss, but not before they,
okay.
Not before they, because I thought what they did was really detailed, and it was very excellent in terms of how they were going to execute. So, but I think your question is a good question, because I was wondering how people were going to be able to actualize this. So we're gonna deal with that.
Okay. Finance team.
Thank you, Mr. Ronnie. All right. Yes, there's a, all right, I'm gonna start with our objective. I believe we've got it up here somewhere. Yeah. All right, our objective was to educate and train donors on kiosk, online giving, and mobile by the end of fourth quarter, all right? And let's see, our guiding policy was to use video and hands-on training to do that. And so our, in phase three, our actions. To set the pace and to accelerate the pace, we needed to set deadlines. We need to create sub-teams. We need to delegate specific tasks. We need to classify as an classify as an organizational priorities. Classify. Clarify? Is that what's supposed to be? What did I put? Oh, okay, I got it. Make it a priority of the department. All right. And eliminate conflicting projects. Any projects that conflict with what we're trying to do, just get rid of them. All right. The process, we need a feedback system for the sub-team so they can communicate anything they think can be improved on. Eliminate competing processes. For example, when people are holding up their tithes and offering envelope, well, that's going to keep people's mindset, oh, I need to give in the tithes and offering envelope and not online or through mobile. So perhaps changing that to some sort of card that just represents your giving. Let them hold. There needs to be consistency in all avenues and methods. Whether it's mobile training or the online training or the video training, there needs to be consistency in the terms and the look and everything. And there needs to be an internal kickoff meeting for all the sub teams to get together and say, okay, this is when we're going to meet and we're going to talk about this whole process, all right? The value. Needs to be visibility into the donations. That is, people need to see the results of their giving online compared to their giving through the, the paper and the envelopes and stuff. And they need to see how that trend is going and how that's benefiting them. We can use incentives. For example, if you go through the training, you finish the training, you know, you get a free CD, you know, something like that. So we can incentivize. We can use current users as trainers. You know, people who already use the online giving or who already give through the mobile, we can use some of them as the teachers. We can use testimonials. When people give their testimony, it encourages others to use the training as well. All right. Are there any questions?
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
I follow everything all the way down to the value.
Okay.
And that's time to value.
Mm-hmm.
And then value over time.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about them using the giving kiosk, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, correct.
So when time to value, and maybe you covered it, I'm asking, when time to value would be increased, decrease the time it takes them to be able to use it?
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
Did you cover that?
I didn't cover it specifically. Yeah. Yeah, if you get with the value, if you get people.
See, what I heard you all approach value from the standpoint of how valuable it is to you.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
What's the value of using this system?
Mm-hmm.
I guess what I'm listening for is time to value is how we communicate it.
Okay.
So if we're trying to get people to go this route,
yeah,
we're talking about the time it takes them to do it, right?
Okay.
So explain to me, because it's not one way to do it. Mm-hmm. Explain to me how y'all approaching time to value and value of time. Now, I didn't quite understand it. Maybe you did it.
Yeah. Our goal or objective or whatever was to educate and train people to use it.
Right.
And so, ultimately the win for the organization is we're having more people use it.
Right.
And so we want to train you because we want more people using it.
Right.
A part of the way that we were gonna decrease the time to value, one of the things that he talked about was testimonials. And so you have some people that are using it now, and as they begin to talk about their experiences using it, it may encourage the other person who you're wanting to go through the training to go ahead and go through the training. Or you may have someone, they decide to watch the video training, or they come to the hands-on training, and it helps them or it benefits them. If they're giving their testimony, hey, I went through the training, it helped me, if it helped me, it'll help you, that may decrease the time that it takes other people to sign up for the training.
Okay. So we're talking about two different things. You're talking about the time it takes people to get involved with this?
Yes.
Okay.
Not necessarily how long it takes them to do a transaction on it. Does that make sense? Our goal was educate and train because we want more people using it. Not necessarily we're trying to decrease the, you know, if it takes you a minute to use it, we weren't necessarily trying to knock that down to 30 seconds. We were trying to, we have 100 people, we want 200 people using it. How do we decrease the time it takes to get us that extra 100? Does that make sense? And so testimonials may help decrease the amount of time it takes for somebody to sign up, because as they hear other people and how they're using it, it benefits them. Incentives may be another way. Hey, if you use mobile giving, if you use online giving.
You're decreasing the time that the kiosk itself becomes valuable.
It's faster than
That's what you're doing.
But it is faster than manually.
No, what I'm saying is, that's what you're doing. See, we got a kiosk, but you're decreasing the time that people see that it's valuable.
Right.
People don't see it as valuable right now. You're decreasing the time.
Well, we may not be hitting what you're talking about. One of the ways that it's valuable to the church is it frees up the finance staff. So the more that you have people doing online stuff, that's less that they have to process physical envelopes. So they now can do some other tasks. So when you say you're trying to increase the value, that's a part of the value. You're trying to get to them being able to do some other stuff faster. It is cheaper for the organization because you have to print less tithe and offering envelope.
A lot of times when I ask questions, it's designed for all of us to learn. It's designed for all of us to learn. Okay, when we talked about time to value, we put it in the framework of a individual, could be an individual employee, it could be a team, it could be a project, it could be an initiative. In this case, it would be an initiative.
Kind of like an initiative project.
So you can approach time to value different ways. It's not like it's one way to do it. So what I was asking is not how valuable it is, but the time to value.
Yeah. We were trying to, I don't know if I'm answering your question.
Make sense there about it?
As a group, we were trying to decrease the amount of time it took for somebody to get trained and get plugged in.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Okay. That makes sense.
And so if we're educating right and if we're training right, hopefully we'll increase the number of people who want to use it
and get
plugged in.
I was just saying a little bit different. You were decreasing the time that it became valuable to the people. That's what you're doing. You decrease the time it becomes fat because testimonials and all that, all of a sudden people realize it's valuable, so you decrease the time it takes for people to get connected to it.
Right.
Well, y'all good, we good.
We good. It sounds good to me. Any other questions? All right.
I just flipped it out just a different way.
Gotcha.
It's the same difference, it's just a different way.
This team will also establish the process for participating, incorporating. We're going to establish deadlines early on, eliminate some of the steps needed for approval. We want to have the pace to be speed up, so we want to give them more flexibility to make decisions without going through a whole lot of processes. Then the process. The process must be flexible. We want to make it flexible for them, several ways for them to sign up, several ways for them to be, for members and non-members to be included. We want to make it simple. We want to create a feedback system so that we get the best book out of what we're wanting to do. Then the people component, we want to clarify the goal, educate the people, survey, get skill sets of the people to put them in key positions. And also we want to kind of give an example of what we did with Christmas in July. We want to let them know that the value of volunteering, the way it makes you feel, but also the gratification it gives to other people when you're giving out. When you're serving or giving out. So we want to give them an example of that so that they can get buy-in and kind of own it themselves. And then the value portion, we want to recruit seasoned volunteers for new volunteers to shadow. We want them to yoke up a younger person or a person who may not have volunteered before. We want to yoke them up with somebody who's more seasoned and more developed and know what to do so that they won't kind of be out there by themselves. And then we want to partner with also other ministries that are already doing what we would like to do so that they can help us to kind of eliminate that time, reduce the time over value. And so that's what we would like to do. So that was us, community. Any questions? The time of value as it relates to having the volunteers feel comfortable enough to go out and kind of serve in the community. So we want to yoke them up with seasoned volunteers to kind of shadow so that the new recruits won't feel as intimidated.
And so in this case, time of value will be time from... You're reducing the time from a person shadowing somebody to a person that can do it on their own.
Right. Yes.
That would be time to value.
Yes.
So by yoking up with other entities, we can speed up our process of getting our people involved more quickly in a variety of community service projects. So we can speed it up because we're yoking up with other people.
Well, I think was good. Now to your question. Because everybody did it. I was concerned about what we'd be able to do this in a practical way, but I think everybody proved that we could do it. So give your question now.
My question wasn't whether we could do it necessarily, like answer the questions.
I mean, I guess we could sit here and answer the questions. I was trying to see how do you fit all of this into the process in a practical way. Like, for instance, I understood if you're coming up with objectives, you've got 7 ways you can come up with strategic objectives. I've understood how you prioritize. I understood once you get a goal, then you and how you do a strategy, diagnosis, all that, blase, blase. You can walk it out. But when I got to this, I'm like, what's the difference in a way between this and developing coherent actions? Because some of the things that I would do as it relates to processes or pace, whatever, I might have made a coherent action that was rooted in pace. Does that make sense?
But a coherent action is just that. It's an action. It's not execution. It's just an action. Execution is carrying out the actions. See, if you, let's say you got 5 coherent actions. 5 coherent actions. Now you got to execute those coherent actions. Just to list 5 actions is not execution. Execution is actually not practically carrying out those coherent actions.
But some of the things I heard people say, to me, they were actions. They were actions that were rooted in maybe clarity for the people, clarifying what you're doing for the people, but they were still actions.
Yeah, they were actions, but they were part of the execution process because the whole thing of remember there were 3 components: people, it was unity, and agility. Well, if people on the team don't have clarity about it, it's gonna slow things down. So when they said they gonna hold meetings to get everybody on the same page. Now, I guess you can be technical and say some of the same actions follow over in coherent actions. The point to get is that a coherent action is not just necessarily execution. when you put it in the framework of pace, see, the issue of pace, what I was looking for is how are you going to speed up what you said you're going to do? How are you going to speed that up? When I was looking for processes, and I heard, I think most of y'all got this thing of processes. Well, it's going to be simple, and some of you said the way it's going to be simple. We're going to take out, somebody said something about cutting out the...
The middleman.
The layers.
The layers of it. That's all a part of the process. Part of establishing. And then the unity, we didn't get into a whole lot of agility. I didn't hear a whole lot of anybody saying anything about agility that much. But I thought it went well. I thought it went well. I think this group was more in depth than the rest of the group. But I thought it all went well. When I was talking to this group, it wasn't that what they said was wrong, it didn't have enough detail to it. It did not have enough depth to it. When I listened to y'all group, I thought y'all did a good job on it. So I was wondering how we were gonna do it, but after you did it, then it sold me, because I think everybody did it.
So how, okay.
See the thing about it, I don't know how to explain. I don't know how to explain the difference, because even in execution, you got actions. See, you gonna have some action. Even in execution, you got coherent actions over here in your strategy, but all you got is just blanket actions. Now here over your execution, you put it in the framework of pace, process, people, and that. And so what you're doing, you're putting those actions within the framework of those areas, because they are actions.
Okay. You're organizing your actions, right?
You're organizing your actions, and there's a strategic component to that too. See, there's a strategic component to executing too. Because when you get down to process, you gotta think, how can I make these processes in such a way where it helps me to execute? I thought y'all did a, you know, I thought you're different, and you're learning from all the different groups, you know? And so when I put it all together, what blessed me, because Stephanie and Melinda came up with this. Will y'all give them a hand? I did not know how it would look in an exercise form. But I think doing it in an exercise form and going from one to the other makes it more real than me just teaching it. So when you went through the thing, I think you learned probably even more than you realized you learned by doing the exercise. So I think they came up with this idea of having a summary day. And we'll have
good.
A summary day after every module. But I think they did a great job in terms of putting it together in such a way where it would flow. And I thought they did a good job. And I think you all did a good job. I was very pleased with what we end up getting as a group. I mean, that's all I want from it. And you're not gonna, I mean, you know, anybody else other than Terrence, did it crystallize it for anybody else? Raise your hand if it did help you develop.
I got one more question.
That's good, yes.
For the coherent actions and the execution, mm-hmm. Is the coherent actions what you do and the execution how you do them? Is that basically how they fit together? Coherent actions is the things you do, and the execution is how you do those things.
I think that's a pretty good explanation.
Okay.
Because how you're doing it is you're fitting it within the framework of those components.
Yeah.
Pace, process,
mm-hmm.
people,
value.
And value.
Okay.
So in cool. I think in the fuller sense of the word, that is how you're doing it. That's mm-hmm. how you're taking those coherent mm-hmm. actions and how you're actually actualizing them. Mm-hmm.
Okay, great.
I think he answered your question, Deb.
Yeah, I was ready to write it down. Thank you, man.
You're welcome.
Did you all understand what he said?
No.
The coherent actions is what you do. The execution is how you do those coherent actions. That's how I saw it.
Hmm?
That's how I saw it.
That's how you saw it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's how we see it. Anybody else got any questions? Thought the lunch was really good.
Mm-hmm.
Great on the lunch. Ms. Linda? Y'all did a wonderful job. Stephanie, y'all did a great job.
Definitely one. Okay, well, we're finishing up for the day. We do have a survey that we would like for you to complete to get your feedback, because that's very important to us going forward. We want to make sure that we're doing everything that we possibly can to ensure that you are able to practically walk out what Pastor Mike is teaching. And I just wanted to say on behalf of me and Stephanie, we do count it a privilege and an honor to serve you in this way. We get very excited when we're doing the activities and we think about particular people like Minister Deb, who always has a whole lot of questions and stuff like that. But we really do enjoy putting together the activities and see learning take place. So it's our privilege and our honor to serve you. We really have a good time with it. And we hope that you guys have had a great time today. And we'll see you back in about 2 weeks. And if you could just leave your surveys on the table, that would be great. And if you guys could just give Stephanie a round of applause for facilitating today. Okay. All right, we're done. Thank you, guys.